Hi, I'm Joe Feeks, editor of Pig Health Today, and with me is Dr. Jer Giger. He is a health assurance veterinarian for PIC. Great to have you here.
Thank you for the invitation. I appreciate the opportunity.
We're going to talk about tail biting, and this is a term that should probably need no explanation. It's kind of self-defining, but from the paper that you presented at the 2019 AASV meeting, I got the impression that there's still a lot of confusion about what tail biting actually is.
When you look at the literature, there are actually three different categories that the researchers put tail biting into. What are the motivations for tail biting? And I'll run through those briefly if you'd like. So the first is classified as a two-stage process, in which we realize pigs are naturally foragers. They have foraging and they are inquisitive beings. And so in modern production practices and facilities, we have eliminated or severely limited their ability to forage. And so the pig goes looking for other substrates that he might explore. And in that process,
this is when they start nibbling on each other.
Exactly. So as long as it's in the nibbling and kind of an innocent sort of stage, that's stage one. But when the biting becomes more aggressive and damage is done, that's stage two. So that's one category. A second category is where it's just outright aggressive biting with severe damage and pain to the victim. This is stimulated, it's a behavior that comes from the frustration of the pig because he is limited in terms of space or feed or water. He feels that he's in a competitive environment and therefore he needs to be competitive and aggressive, and the intention is to do harm, right? A third category is kind of the individual pig that seems obsessed with biting tails simply because he or she can. And if we can identify that one particular individual in a pen and remove that, the problem goes away.
Now, you've described tail biting, at least in some herds, as a vice.
Yes, so we have to recognize a vice is a behavior that we prefer didn't happen. This is a behavior that, again, comes back to, is part of the pig. It's innate, it's inherent. And when we force the pig into an uncomfortable situation where he feels that he has to compete, again, for feed, water, space, comfort, then he will be aggressive. And in those situations, it's usually a more explosive sort of presentation where it's not one pig that just becomes aggressive, it will be a group. And so you see a sudden change throughout a whole barn or a room where you might walk in one day and have no evidence, and 3 days later, it looks very much different.
And in your paper, you described what you call detonators, and I guess this would be like feed and water and so forth. What could we be doing better to diffuse these situations?
Well, I think tail biting actually comes down to a very simple adage that pig producers and certainly veterinarians have lived by as far back as I can remember. And that goes back to the adage, pigs need feed, water, air, and to that I add comfort or sleep, okay? So when you say what causes tail biting, my answer is, well, somehow that pig feels like he doesn't have the feed, water, air, or comfort that he needs. He feels he's in a competitive environment, and it is part of his nature, his behavior, to respond with biting. So you say, well, that's the cause. How do you fix it? Well, then it's back to the same adage. He needs feed, water, air, comfort. You need to identify what is that trigger mechanism, what is the detonator, and then resolve that. The real challenge is that if we tried to make a list of triggers or detonators, that list could be very long and very complex because they are interrelated. Our goal is to provide all those things so that the pig prospers and grows and performs and meets our expectations. But if in some way, for whatever reason, we have limitations on those resources, then the pig responds. And it then becomes our challenge to identify what was the trigger, or maybe it's a complex network of triggers that finally reach a breaking point, and then resolve that. The last thing I was going to point out is that that becomes a multidisciplined approach. You have to look at it from several different perspectives. You have to look at it from the perspective of a nutritionist, of a production specialist that's going to consider space and ventilation. You also have to think about it from the perspective of a veterinarian, because health impacts the comfort of the animal. And then recognize from the beginning that this is going to take time. You need to observe the animals and understand what is his limiting factor, what pushed him over the edge.
So what can we do about it, though? You know, again, it comes down to feed, water, comfort, it's air. But that's easier said than done. I mean, how do you bring those four elements together to try to combat tail biting?
I think you're leading into the right approach. You definitely want to prevent this from happening. If you're trying to treat it, you're fighting an uphill battle. You're already behind the eight ball if you have to deal with it. And so I think it's providing all the right tools and resources for the pigs ahead of time. From the nutritionist point of view, the nutritionist will want to provide the optimal diet, and that's the right diet for the right pig at the right age with the right intake. The nutritionist is going to optimize the amino acid balances there. The nutritionist is going to optimize the energy protein balance, okay? And we could go on. I'm not a nutritionist and I don't try to tell them their job, but they tell me this is complicated. If we look at it in terms of space, you might consider space not only to lie down, but space and access to the feeder, space and access to water, okay? We try to make that optimal from the production specialist point of view. In ventilation, we try to provide the optimal environment with air intake speeds, so that we get the right mixing, that we have the right turnover of air volumes. All of that, we try to make it optimal. From a veterinarian point of view, we try to give them the optimal health under the circumstances that we have. In reality, what it comes down to is that the pig is the ultimate decision maker. He's the ultimate judge. He says, this is or this is not optimal. And he's going to respond if things aren't optimal and it reaches that tipping point. You will activate, trigger, detonate a tail biting episode. And so he's not going to come out and write you a text message and say, you know, you shorted me on feed today. It becomes your responsibility then as a caretaker to figure out which of those it is. But again, all parties involved are trying to do, trying to create an optimal environment. But the real judge at the end of the day is not what's on paper, but what the pig actually receives and feels.
Now, of course, this is one of the reasons we dock tails in the first place, correct?
Yes.
But if a pig has had its tail docked, tail biting can still be an issue?
Yes. And you bring up an interesting point, because sometimes the length of the tail actually has an impact. How long is too long, or how short is too short? The studies, the researchers that look at this have identified that somehow a quarter of an inch tail length at our normal processing age is appropriate. If we go longer than a quarter of an inch, we see an increase in tail biting. I don't know what's magical about a quarter of an inch, but that's what the researchers tell us. And I find it interesting that when we're docking tails, it's actually better to be wrong and be consistent than it is to be inconsistent and right sometimes. In other words, if you have inconsistent tail length, you have a greater propensity for tail biting than if you dock them all at a half inch. A quarter inch is supposedly optimal. A half inch is too much. But if you vary back and forth between a quarter, a half, and 5/8, now you've set yourself up for an even greater risk.
And is there anything you can do when you're processing these animals to try to ensure more consistency?
Pork producers are an ingenious and a creative group. And yes, they have little spacers that would be a quarter inch in thickness. And they use that when they're docking the tails, so that you put the spacer against the butt of the pig, and you use your tail docker, and now you've got it consistently at the length, the depth of that spacer.
But longer term, the solution is more in these other four factors that you had mentioned: feed, water, air, and comfort.
Providing those and being ahead of the curve.